And welcome to
The Joe Project.
The Joe Project seeks to equip everyday people with faith-based mental health education. Valerie, how are you?
I'm really excited because we have a new friend as a part of our recording sessions. You can't see her name's Christine. She's amazing. Drop 40 Productions. It's just really exciting because you know me. I love collabing with people. Mm-hmm. I'm like a community builder and I'm like, yo, who's in our network? Who wants to partner? Who wants to make this happen? And then it happened.
I love that.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad Christine is here too, but also... our daughter went on the swing for the second time and the slide for the first time.
I know.
Today.
She was...
I thought that you were going to go with that.
Oh, that was amazing,
no,
too.
Fine. No, it's okay.
Wow, you made me look like a bad mother.
You're
okay.
Not a bad mom.
It was amazing. She was really cute. She like went on the slide and was like... And it was really cute. Yeah. And I got it on camera and I videotaped it like 100 times and I'm going to send it to all of our relatives. Okay.
Yeah, as always. Yeah. What are we talking about today?
So... I don't know if you know this, babe, but Romans 12 hits, okay?
Well, first of all, the whole book of Romans hits. I don't know why we're just
I mean, you're right.
It's
you do love Romans. Mm-hmm. I feel like I think it's because Romans 12 hit in terms of like mental health for me in a very new way this season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, what does the Bible say about therapy? You know, we do talk about like the multitude of counsels. We talk about how without counsel, people often fall. Yeah. But I just wanted like what is the CBT scripture, behavioral therapy scripture, right? So people are like, oh, I don't go to therapy. I don't believe in therapy. I'm like, let me get some Bible on it.
Yeah.
And see where God is talking about some mind renewal. And Romans 12 was the perfect verse. So I thought we could like break it down. Mm-hmm. Because I think one thing that people still are struggling with is this heavy stigma of, does God approve of my going to therapy, getting a psychiatrist, to a counselor?
Which is always weird to me. I think because of the work that we've been doing over the past few years, whenever I think of somebody like having that struggle, I'm not saying that it's wrong to have the struggle. There's a lot of stigma that the church has put on mental health, but I'm always like, do you feel like this about going to the podiatrist? Like if your ankle hurts, you know what I mean?
That's true.
But before we get into that, we are having our depression.
Oh, yeah.
Valerie, let me get there. We are having our depression workshop on March 22nd.
So that's a Friday.
That's a Friday. So if you don't know, the Joe Project has a series that we like to call Mental Health and the Gospel. It's a series of virtual workshops where we teach about the intersection of faith and mental health. We give you some definitions. We teach you different ways to cope with different things. And ultimately, we bring the Bible alongside the DSM and show how one is actually proving the other. We would love to have you there. If you want to, you can go to the link in our show notes. It's going to be down there and you can go ahead and click the link and get a ticket there. But if you're listening to this after March 22nd, good news. We still have workshops that are ongoing. And as of right now, they are all virtual. There may be some in person. But if you are interested in joining us for a workshop, we cover a wide variety of topics, depression, trauma, anxiety, stress, all of those
relationships,
all of those different types of things. You can head to our website at thejobproject.co/MHXG. That's for mental health and the gospel.
I see what you did there. I like that.
You did that. That was your idea.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow. Okay.
Mom brain. What are you gonna do?
It's okay.
What are you gonna do?
Anyway. Yeah, so you can go to our website and check that out. And you can also follow us on Instagram at thejobproject.co. Everything is the same. It's our website, it's our Instagram. If you're on Threads, we're there for some reason. You know, we're having a great time. Anyway, let's get into it.
Do it.
Do it, do it, do it. Okay. So I'm going to read the scripture, and I want you to stop me when you have something to say.
Mm-mm.
Are you ready?
I might stop you a lot.
Yeah. All right. So you said Romans 12, right?
1-3.
Mm-hmm. 1-3. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." You made a face. Do you want me to keep going?
Yes.
Okay. "Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think."
then, sorry.
It's the choreography for me. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to keep going again?
Yes, one more.
Okay. Paul warns us,
part B of verse 3, BT dubs.
Okay. Paul warns us, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. So why did you pick those three verses?
Okay, so I feel like based off of some scriptures that we were just reading, and don't come at us that we didn't have them memorized. It's a lot of verses, okay?
That's fine. We read our Bibles.
I truly believe that without mind renewal, right? And oftentimes without the support of people like therapists, psychiatrists, counselors, we can't fully live out God's pleasing and perfect will for our individual lives.
Mm-hmm.
I literally believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please do.
I feel like, you know, just like an overview, it is very hard for human beings to properly evaluate themselves. Like, you could be the most self-aware person in the world and yet and still have blind spots because we are human beings, right? And what I find is after doing years of therapy and doing some counseling myself through our church, it is so enlightening for people to be able to notice patterns that you may not have noticed about yourself, the way that you think about yourself, the way that you perceive other people, the way that you perceive God ultimately, because honestly, a lot of your mental health stuff probably comes from childhood, and childhood is usually impacted by the adults in your life. And as a result, we often displace those negative interactions and emotions that we have with our caregivers onto God. And then you go to a therapist, and the therapist kind of takes all that scramble and kind of brings it to a more, I guess, not linear way of thinking. Like, they're scrambled up and then the lines kind of get drawn out, but they're able to identify certain emotional and cognitive or thinking patterns that are unhealthy.
It's like they untangle it.
Exactly. And then those oftentimes...
It's like a detangling comb.
All right.
I know what that
is. He went there. Anyway, all to say, like, this detangling process, I know for me what I found is my therapist, and I believe my therapist is a good therapist, because not all therapists are good.
Woo!
Hot take.
It's not a hot take.
By her untangling all of the identities that I tried to take on based off of what people have told me about myself, negative or positive, she was helping me untangle where those things were coming from and realizing, oh, this isn't actually who I am. This is who people thought I should be. This is what people thought I should act like, look like, behave like. And when we started to untangle that, and now it's not to say all the scars are gone and all the wounds are completely healed. I'm still working through it, but I find that I'm becoming so much more of who God originally created me to be and embracing it. Mm-hmm. So my therapist always highlighted, is this something that you believe in? Is this a core value of yours? Is this something that came from your childhood? Why do you feel so guilt-ridden? Why do you carry so much shame? Like, where did that come from? And I'm recognizing, oh, this isn't something that I internally believed about myself at the very beginning. It was something that I took on. Mm-hmm. And as she continued to detangle, I was like, wow, God, this is not what you intended for me. I mean, the things happened in my life, so... You know, I'm here to use it, right, accordingly to help other people and to love and serve other people. But it isn't an identity that I was meant to carry for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that therapy is the only way to get that. I think scripture is definitely helpful. But I found that therapists, by helping you kind of get to who you really are at the core before all of the drama of the world, it becomes so much easier to see yourself as a person, as a human, and then applying scripture, reading these biblical characters, seeing their humanity and seeing the God that spoke, gave grace to and loved throughout. Chef's kiss. Like, it was just such a huge revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, like in verse 1, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he would find acceptable, right? And this is truly the way to worship him. How do we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, right?
Talk about it.
So I feel like it is important to steward over the body, the mind. This is something you talk about a lot, the soul that God has given you. And that often requires that we take care of our mental and emotional well-being. God does care about our soul.
Yep.
So therefore, that verse hit home for me because I'm like, well, God is asking us to be a holy and living sacrifice to him. And we are all meant to be a holy and living sacrifice in various ways because we're not all meant to be the same. But a lot of us aren't living the true, pleasing, perfect will that God has for each and every single one of us because we are tied to identities or mistakes or trauma mm-hmm. or disorders that, yes, we have to live with, but aren't necessarily our identity markers.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are walking in their trauma, in their anxieties, in their sin. And I felt like therapy was just a huge gateway to me realizing that, yeah, I'm sinful and yeah, I make mistakes, but I'm not what happened to me, you know? So I feel like it helps change the narrative a lot. And I could keep going on, but I want to hear what you were thinking when you read that verse or if you got something else.
Well, I don't know if I got anything else, but when I was reading the verse, the thing that kind of stuck out to me is the word sacrifice. I was thinking about how, I'll use me for an example. All of the things that I have been taught to do and that I've been told to do, that you've encouraged me to do, that we've talked about and I've done research on, in terms of like helping and maintaining my mental health, mm-hmm. so much of it is stuff that I don't want to do in the moment, right? So, you know, I go for a walk every day with the baby. I'm out there for an hour to an hour and a half. I'm just pushing it, you know? Me and the stroller, me and the baby, she's just yelling
some
at
hills.
People. Some hills, some valleys, going up and going down, right? But the beautiful thing about it is that, like, I come back and I feel so much more energized, right? And it's crazy because when I first started going for a walk with the baby back when she was maybe just a couple months old, I hated it. I hated going for a walk.
Are you serious?
Well, yeah, I did.
I thought, oh.
When I first started though, right? Because one, I'm thinking about the effort of the actual walk, right? I'm thinking of getting the baby ready, getting myself ready. You know, I haven't had coffee today. This is when you were still going out for work every day. So like Valerie's at work, I have nobody to talk to, all of that stuff, right? I mean, inevitably, I'd get to the end of the walk. It'd be the baby's nap. No, she would sleep through the walk at that time. Anyway, get to the end of the walk, I come home, and I'm just able to function for the rest of the day. And not just function, but like do pretty well, right? You came home and I'm like, hey, babe, take the baby. There you go. But I was thinking about the difference in like how I view it now, just because it became a habit. At the very beginning, it was something that I did have to sacrifice for because I would have rather sat with the baby and just played with her on the floor and just stayed in these four walls because that's what depression makes me want to do. It makes me want to isolate, right? But
and it's exhausting too.
Yeah.
It's fatigue.
But the thing is that like the fatigue of staying in and watching the baby and staying isolated was far greater than the fatigue of like going for that walk.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I had to sacrifice and actually go for the walk. Right. Same thing for journaling. I hate journaling. I love the concept of journaling. I love the Same. Outcome of journaling. Same. I love when I put my final period and sign my name at the end of the journal entry.
Yep.
When I open my journal and I put my pencil or my pen to paper, I am dreading the process for a couple of reasons, right? One, I get bored easily, right? Two, usually journaling is something that helps you process your emotions. And oftentimes it'll bring up some other stuff that you didn't know that you were feeling.
That's
and sometimes... Sometimes it's 7 a.m. I'm too tired for this. Like, why am I trying to be emotionally healthy at 7 a.m.? And usually after I finish journaling, it's like, I feel so much better and I didn't know I could feel better. But in order to get that process started, I literally have to sacrifice my will in order to take care of my mind in a better way. So that's what I was thinking
body,
about.
And body, I would say walking.
Yeah.
Is taking well, yeah, your body as well.
I mean, I'm focusing on my mind only because that's, you know, we're mental health. But that's really what I was thinking of when I read this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the fact that, like, sometimes some of the things that we're doing for our self-care, for our community care, it literally is a sacrifice. Because, like, being vulnerable is also not easy, right?
It's not, yeah.
You're a part of my community. You're my wife. Hi, babe.
Hey,
I don't like telling you when I've messed up. Like, I don't like telling you when I'm depressed. I don't like telling you when I'm anxious. right? Because it's vulnerable. However, for the benefit of our marriage, for the benefit of your mental health and for my mental health, I have to sacrifice my pride and my discomfort and tell you how I'm feeling. The same thing with other friends that I have. I have to sacrifice my discomfort and tell them, hey, this, that, this, that, this, that. So I kind of got stuck on that word sacrifice.
It is.
Especially since I'm a sacrifice in journal. I'm a sacrifice and tell Valerie how I'm feeling. I'm a sacrifice and go for this walk. In many ways, that's me honoring the Lord. That's an act of worship.
Of course. Right?
So all of that to say, I got stuck on the word sacrifice. That's as far as I got.
I mean, I feel like, what did Jesus say was the greatest command? Love the Lord your God, right? Greatest command. The second to that is love your neighbor as yourself, right? And in all of those instances, I saw you doing things that stewarded over your body, that stewarded over your mind, that stewarded over your emotions. Mm-hmm. And in that, you were able to better interact with the Lord. You were able to get all your feelings out. And I know Holy Spirit was in that space. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit was definitely in that space helping you navigate those emotions. Right. I can guarantee it, because if it's without Holy Spirit, I don't know how y'all doing
you
it,
are
right?
Absolutely correct.
When you're going for that walk, Holy Spirit gives you probably the empowerment to get up, because depression, literally two of the things are you are fatigued and drained, right? That's one of the symptoms. Not, sorry, not two. One of the symptoms where it's like you feel fatigued despite how much sleep you get or how little sleep you get. It doesn't matter if you're insomnia or hypersomnia, you feel fatigued and energyless throughout the day. It takes some empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to get up and take a walk when all you want to do is just sit and do the very bare minimum that you have to. Because we have a daughter, we can't just sit on the couch. We have to take care of her, but we want to do the bare minimum of what that looks like. And I think Paul, because he says, I plead with you to do this. So I feel like there's a little bit of a desperation, like, guys, I need you to get this, that giving your bodies up as a living sacrifice is acceptable to God. It is our reasonable service. And there's so many benefits because God ultimately desires our good. He desires our sanctification. Does it come with some trials and some a little bit of drama?
Oh my
yeah.
God. Yes.
And I think there is a huge amount of mental health and emotional implications that we try to navigate and fight through, right? And I think that is why it's called a sacrifice. But because God is so good, our sacrifice of worship to him always benefits us and the people around us. So it's a win-win situation. But I'd argue that, I'm sure therapy helped a lot with that, in that you have learned, and I have learned, that, okay, I don't love talking about my emotions, but we were never taught that anyway. But then you go to therapy for 3 years and it's like, okay, I'm getting used to this. I still don't love being in that process, but you start to become a little bit more acclimated to it. And then I'm sure your therapist, like mine, gave me strategies as to how to navigate it. Strategies that I said, I'm taking that. Lord, how are we doing this together?
Yep.
And we're here now, still healing, still getting through our stuff, but in a much better place where I feel like this scripture is just coming alive to me in a new way.
Yeah. There's one more thing I want to say, though.
I know I saw your face. You looked really excited.
I got excited, and then I immediately forgot what I was thinking. So I'm going to go back to the first thought I had.
Okay.
unless I remember it, because that's how my brain works.
That's fine.
Do
it.
Shoot. What was that? Oh, no. I got it. I'm going to go back to talking about you and my friends and stuff, right? I think that current mental health discourse has done us a great disservice. Because there is so much heavy focus on and heavy thought on self-care.
Talk about
which is not bad. However, it neglects a huge part of the healing process, which I don't think I coined this term, but I like it because it's like a comparison to self-care. It's not just about self-care, but it's about community care
Talk about it.
It's kind of one of the reasons why whenever people are talking about mental health, right, you know, we're going to share and we'll continue on our podcast and on our platform. We'll continue to share with you tips and tricks and different things that we know can help us in the short term and help us in the long term. But there are also, you know, big, wide societal things that affect our mental health that Christopher cannot, you know, affect any major change on by himself, right? It's something that a community would actually need to come together. A community meaning your neighborhood or your city or your borough or your state or your country to make that change. And that may not happen right now, right? However, when I'm talking about community care, I am talking about like the people you choose to surround yourself with, not just family, right? Because I'm not talking about just blood, because sometimes I'm fully aware that for some of us, we have family members that we are not close to. We have family members that we do not feel safe around.
Right.
We have family members that we are connected to, but we're not necessarily, you know, buddy, buddy, I'm going to be vulnerable with you.
Exactly.
I'm talking about the community that you can be vulnerable around, that like
if sharpen push, you.
Yeah. If push came to shove and you started crying, they'd be like, you all right? And then just sit with you and like try and be a good friend and supportive community. Somebody who's committed to like your mental health and committed to your personal growth and vice versa. Right.
Right.
I think that, first of all, that's one of the huge benefits of being a part of a church body, especially if you're a believer in Jesus. Like there's so much in the Bible that talks about us staying in community. But even if you weren't a Christian, there's actually research that talks about how important it is, that how important social connection is.
Absolutely.
Which I think is why I keep talking about depression, because that's my thing. Right. I think that's why depression and that isolationist thinking is always so insidious, because of the fact that like I'm even if I'm doing everything right, you know, even if I have meds and I'm supposed to be taking them and I'm taking them and I'm writing in my journal and I'm going for a walk, right? If I'm missing that connection with people around me, if I'm missing that connection with my community, then that also has a negative effect on me too. So like taking time to connect with my community and even connect with the Lord. The Lord is a part of my community too.
Absolutely.
Is also an act of worship. Talk about the CDC, Valerie.
Galatians says,
or talk about Galatians. That's what I mean.
Bear each other's burdens so that you fulfill the law of Christ. You're telling me that spending time with community and supporting and loving each other through the darkest of times and the coolest of times is the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says right there.
And the CDC, six studies
of them.
They referenced social connectedness improves your mental health, period.
Well, look at that.
It increases your lifespan and it helps with your mental health. Six studies they were referencing.
You know what? That brings...
The law of Christ is for our good, people.
Let me give you an example of this in real time, right? Or not in real time, right? For those of you who don't know, I am also a little bit of a nerd, right? I love anime, stuff like that, right?
R.I.P. I forgot his name, but it was
Akira Toriyama. Yeah. That wasn't where I was going.
But
though.
Just for those who watch.
I'm thinking of junior high, one of the roughest times of my life, right? I'm not saying that this is the thing that saved my life, but as a young, round, shy, depressed boy, going to an all boys Catholic school where the focus was heavy on sports, and I couldn't do that, right? The thing that helped me find community was Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
I love that for you.
Okay. My Yu-Gi-Oh card collection is right behind us, right? But I'm thinking about how different my reaction to school was when I finally had Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
You found your tribe.
And then that's, I feel like that's also part of the huge shift for when I got to high school and I started going to a performing arts school, and I was like surrounded by people who did music. And I'm like, even if I have nobody, I have everybody.
Ooh, wow.
This is great.
Wow.
Yeah. So all of that to say, one, there are communities for the things that you love, right? I don't know what it might be cooking. It might be tennis.
That's my thing.
It might be cinematography, it might be cameras, whatever it...
Puzzles,
whatever it might be, right? But even those little communities, right? Those little things are super helpful for our mental health.
Science, Bible,
I just made that connection, by the way, just now.
That's
beautiful. I'm never throwing my Yu-Gi-Oh cards away. You can't make me.
I wasn't going to. Great. You're going to make me look like a bad wife. Anyway, no. Chris,
yes.
Let's continue on, because Romans 2... is the best one.
Romans 12:2.
Whoops. Don't at me.
Okay.
I know the Bible.
Just a reminder, this is what the verse says. Do not copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into The dancing is taking me out. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
So I low-key feel like I broke this down at the beginning. So I feel like I'm repeating some
stuff. Repeat yourself.
But again, this is one of my favorite verses of the Bible. Because if there's one thing I know about cognitive behavioral therapy is they are trying to change the way you think, which inevitably change how you feel and therefore behave.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore your patterns change. And when your patterns change, your life changes, right? Mm. Now, when we're talking about the renewing of the mind, we are also talking about God's word.
Right.
Let's clear that out here. We're talking about God's word. But I would argue that I found it very hard to apply do not be worried or anxious about anything when I did not know how to manage my anxiety symptoms.
Exactly.
Or even put words to them or even understand what they were. Like, it became very difficult for me to read that as a, it was a command, but they're acknowledging, hey, you're going to be anxious, but we're telling you not to be anxious and we're telling you how to manage that anxiety. But it was so difficult for me to learn how to be present enough to apply these principles in scripture until I went to therapy.
Yeah.
And my therapist was like, so this is what it is. We pulled out our handy dandy, the SM, right? And she basically broke down what my symptoms were. Like, this is when I found out I had OCD, when I was diagnosed with OCD. And what my issue is, I get into a feedback loop of thinking where I have doubt, I have to neutralize the doubt, and I can't deal with uncertainty. And when you're in a lot of uncertainty in life, which is guaranteed, you are guaranteed to be uncertain in multiple times in your life, there becomes heightened anxiety, and then I'm incapable of applying this verse because I am not dealing with the reason why I can't be mindful and present enough to just sit with my father until I went to therapy.
I want you to tell me how, as a believer in Jesus, but somebody with that same feedback loop, how are you supposed to obey God if all of that goes unchecked? If you need constant reassurance, right? And you're not going to get that because God will say go and not tell you where you're going. Or he'll say you're going here, but not tell you the direction to go. How are we supposed to serve the Lord if our minds aren't being taken care of, right? We get to partner with the Lord in that process, right? But it's just the fact that, like, because I'm hearing you talk about that feedback loop and you're like, if I don't have assurance, I find it very hard to do this. And if I don't do this, then I find it's hard to this, that, and the other. And I'm like, God's saying, I'm going to use this as an example. God's saying, quit your job and start a business. What do you mean, quit my job and start a
what
business?
What about the bills?
What about the bills?
What about
this? What about that? And a lot of times we equate that to just the regular worries and the regular anxieties. And I'm not talking about that in particular. I'm talking about a pattern that has been diagnosed, a pattern that you have gone to therapy for or seen a psychiatrist
taken
or psychologist
for,
taken meds for, right? Especially for something you're taking meds for, right? Like, how are you? It's almost as if God was like saying, hey, you need to go run this marathon
with
right?
no training.
Not just with no training and half a leg, right? You don't have your left leg. It's cut off from the knee down, right? In order to do that, mm-hmm. you would need to be like, Lord, help me go get this leg fixed, right? You might not bring the leg back, but give me what did the little guy have? The little backward paperclip,
right?
The prosthetics, right?
You talking right.
Then I can do the thing that God asked me to do, right? I can obey now, but I'm incapable of doing it right now because I literally have something physically that's holding me back. Remember, your mind is a part of your physical
brain.
Body.
Your brain is a literal physical organ.
It is it's in there. Like
OCD?
It's there.
Low serotonin levels,
right?
Low dopamine levels, guys.
So I'm just seeing
these are real physical aspects of
this
disorder.
So I'm just seeing because for depression, when the Bible
says serotonin,
when the Bible talks about, you know, don't neglect the gathering of the saints, right? And you neglect the gathering of the saints because your brain is literally telling you to isolate. I'm not saying force yourself out the house and just be uncomfortable and this, that, or the other. But I am saying we have to at least acknowledge the effects that mental illness and mental health, that poor mental health has on our ability to meet God.
Absolutely.
And meet him in obedience. Like,
Absolutely.
How are we supposed to do that if we're not taking care of our minds?
Yep.
Is that your whole point for?
I mean, hey, you took it and I was like, I just gave you the shot, the alley-oop, and you dunked it.
Did I steal it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
All right. If anything, you made it better. I think, I loved what you just said. I don't know. I need time. Okay. I know we don't have time, but I think one thing, I wanted to highlight, because I agree with everything you just said and I have nothing to add. This is kind of, okay. So it's talking about not being submitted to the customs of this world, right? So mm-hmm. the customs of the world is sin, mm-hmm. point blank period. And what I find interesting is that a lot of people navigating mental illness, mental health disorders, mental health symptoms that they're not even aware of, often find yourself falling into patterns of sin. Mm. One pattern of sin that I think is really difficult to talk about that a lot of people carry shame with is addiction. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the research, oftentimes trauma, mm-hmm. substance use, hand in hand, mm-hmm. substance use or any addictive behaviors, right? Because oftentimes what's happening is, okay, let's use porn for an example, right? So porn addiction, right? From the stories I've heard of many men that I know, women too, oftentimes porn became an escape. It became a release. It was an ability to escape the intense, overwhelming mm-hmm. negative emotions that came over a person when they were either in the traumatic situation or being put in situations that reminded them of trauma. And then because those neural pathways kind of get cemented, like this helped me feel better that one time, so I'm going to keep doing it because at least I have some relief, right? But then you become a believer and they're saying porn is not okay, but you are fighting every day not to do it. And then you do it anyway. And then you do it anyway. You do it anyway. You find yourself in this cycle and you're like, God, I'm reading my word. I'm praying. And it's not to say God can't deliver you from porn addiction, like right off the bat at an altar call. That is not what I'm saying. I'm like, you better go and pray with your brothers and sisters. You better seek wise counsel. But if you find that there's a cycle and it's hard to get out of, you might need to also seek some mental health support, because at the core of it, we're not dealing with the root issue, right? It's a Band-Aid on the root issue that you're not necessarily dealing with. Or it's, if you're dealing with it, you're still struggling with being, I don't want to say comfortable, mm-hmm. but comfortable enough to interact with those emotions, interact with those feelings and thoughts. Because if you're able to get to the root of that, and usually a therapist and a good trauma-informed therapist
yeah.
is going to help you navigate it slowly, because I know some traumas are very difficult for people to talk about, let alone even think about.
Yeah.
But what they're trying to do is like, let's get to the root here. What happened to you, right? You're trying to reprocess it in a way that doesn't cause a full body reaction. How do we understand it as it pertains to our life now? How do we change the narrative? Because before it's like it's something happened to us. Yes, it is something that happened to us, but you don't have to identify with that trauma, which I think is often something that happens, right? And then from there, you're able to figure out, okay, now that I know that this is not the center of my life anymore, God is, what can I do with this information that I have, right? And then slow but surely, you may find that the addictive patterns and the things that you used to go to, because it's not just porn, it's alcohol, it's weed, it's any type of drug, it's sex, it's overeating, it's binge TikTok. Watching, it's TikTok, like hours and hours of TikToks. Like, we are not exempt from all of these different patterns just because, like, all of it's bad, especially in unhealthy ways and unhealthy levels. But all to say, because we're not dealing with the root issue and we're kind of navigating it with the customs of this world.
Yep.
We are not able to live the full, pleasing, and perfect will of God because we're directly disobeying it, but we can't find out why, or we're struggling to do what God is telling us to do because we're not dealing with the root issue and not allowing Him to enter that space.
Yeah.
But what the thing is, people aren't taught how to enter that space healthily and safely. They run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But a good therapist, like I said, is going to help walk you each and everything as long as it takes for you to finally be comfortable enough to get to that root of where it came from. And then as you become more comfortable with it, you find that you don't need the porn anymore. You find that you're losing the need for alcohol because now you're finding healthier ways to cope, because now you're able to cope with it, uh-huh. not run away from it, actually walk through it
yeah.
and get the support you need. I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep talking about therapy a lot, but it's just interesting that the Lord can use that
mm-hmm.
to help bring you to yourself
yep.
and to heal you.
Yep.
And I think that's really important to recognize. And I just wanted to say that because I know there are people who struggle with addiction or struggle with any type of substance use. and don't recognize, like, why am I such a horrible Christian? Like, why can't I get over this sin? I know it's bad. I know it's bad. I know it's bad. What's wrong with me? There might be something deeper in the surface that you may need to kind of walk through. But know that there is support out there for you to get that help.
Yeah.
And I've seen it firsthand that you can get over an addiction.
Yeah.
I've seen it firsthand. So I also wanted to add that because I know that's real. And the science proves it too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wow.
Very passionate about this.
You are.
As you can tell.
Let me read the last scripture for you.
I know we're running out of time. I'm just getting excited.
Oh my gosh. Paul warns us, don't think you... What version is this?
I think it's NLT. Yeah, it's my favorite. I know. It's very plain English, but I like it.
Paul warns us, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. I think that it's interesting that the scripture is here, especially because at the top of our time, you talked about those blind spots, right?
Yes, because we all of us have. No one's exempt from it.
And I think about
only
that,
Jesus is.
But I think about that even in terms of, I consider myself fairly self-aware, right? Self-awareness doesn't necessarily mean everything is perfect and I'm going to make the best mental health decisions. It just means I can identify, oh, I'm not doing well right now. And that's it, right?
Right.
But even with that, I actually just made a post about this on Instagram. Sometimes I struggle. I say that this is partially because of depression. Sometimes I struggle with people's perception of me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have...
Same.
An accurate picture of it, right? I know that you have stories about this all the time, right?
So many.
So, for example, this past Sunday, there was some worship. The Lord showed up. And then the way that the Lord shows up when I'm leading worship is like he'll drop other songs into my spirit. And he's just like, sing this. Okay, you're done now. Get off the stage. But in the post, I talked about the struggle with hearing God say that, but then being like, am I just doing this so that I get people to like the worship set? Like, am I just trying to get somebody to say good job after the worship set? Or did I really hear from the Lord, right? And then once I do that, like, let's say this Sunday for the service you didn't see, for 9:30, we ended up singing Indescribable, right? They didn't have the lyrics ready for it because we haven't sung it in years, right? And then the singers, when we came off stage, they were like, Chris, I love that song. We haven't sung it in years. There's so many words to it, right? And they were saying it as a joke,
yeah.
But immediately my mind went to, oh, crap, they must be mad at me.
Wow.
Right? Wow. Even though this was one of those moments where I was actually trying to shut things out, focus on serving the people, but also hear from the Lord and actually serve, right? But as soon as I heard them say that, I was like, oh crap, not doing that again.
And they did it again.
I did do it again, but that's because I got some encouragement in between services, oh, okay. Right? I was already in a good mood.
That was gonna be my second question.
But what I'm thinking about with this though, is just the fact that, like, I want to encourage us, don't think that you're, like the scripture says, don't think that you're better than you really are. But the important part right here is be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, right? Because I think that especially as believers who are seeking after the righteousness of God, especially as believers who are struggling with our mental health and living with, like, you know, a skewed idea of our mental wellness, I think that we are especially susceptible to super, super negative thinking about ourselves in a way that doesn't also glorify the Lord,
right?
Just thinking, oh, I did a terrible job. Nobody was helped. Nobody was served. I'm terrible. I need to do better next time. When that's not true,
right?
But if I'm obeying the Lord and I'm seeking after him when I'm up there, then we're all good.
Right.
So I was thinking
people
about
feel some type of way, they gotta go to the Lord.
Right. Right.
Don't so I'm fight just, me, fight Jesus.
I'm just kind of riffing off the fact that, like, we all have those blind spots, whether we are
on one side of the spectrum, super prideful.
Yep.
Or the other,
the
side,
other side of the
super
spectrum,
prideful,
but the negative.
Right.
Negative pride.
The
negative
false pride?
False pride.
Is that what it's called?
False humility.
False humility.
That's, words are hard, you know.
It is.
All right. All right. Can you talk about what you wanted to talk about for this one? Because I don't know what I said.
Oh, you're
I forgot
right,
everything.
Babe. I don't know. You're talking right. Sometimes I'm like, I don't need to say nothing else. I think what's important is scripture tells us not to do that as well. I think in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, don't you dare classify or compare with other people. That is not a healthy way to evaluate yourself, right?
Especially that means that, oh, I felt this for somebody out there. Get off of Instagram. Amen.
That was for me. He attacked me. Because I'll be honest, like, most people may be like, oh, I'm self-aware. I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm comparing myself to yesterday's self. I'm like, that is very difficult in this age, first of all. And second of all, you're always going to be comparing yourself to somebody else.
Yeah.
Whether it's somebody you admire or respect or, like, dare I say, envy and covet. Or those who may not look as successful, beautiful, fill in the blank adjective as you. There's always a level of comparison, I think, that human beings fall under, or I feel like the scripture wouldn't exist. And I think what they're saying is that that's a trap. First of all, we should be comparing ourselves to Jesus, right? And not in a false humility, like I can never be like Jesus. And obviously none of us are Jesus, but our goal is to walk like him, right? So I think it's important to highlight that self-evaluation, albeit possible, isn't wise, because unfortunately we're very faulty and we have blind spots, right? So what we have the Word of God. What else do we have? We have therapists and counselors and doctors in this field who are able to use empirically sound research, well, methods to help us navigate what it looks like to accurately evaluate ourselves. Now, if they say things that are contrary to the Word of God, then you have to be wise enough to recognize, okay, I can take some of the things that they shared, and I think those are things that are pretty good for me to do. But these things may not apply to scripture, because I think there are people who struggle with, well, my therapist isn't a believer, so sometimes I find that the advice that I get isn't congruent with my faith. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when you have to ask Holy Spirit, help me to discern, you know, what is biblically sound and something I can do and something I can apply, and what's not, and what other things can I do to navigate that, right?
I also would say, like,
yeah,
you know, don't forget that, like, you can tell your therapist, I'm a Christian, so no, I'm not doing that.
Right. And right. A good therapist.
Say that
would
again.
Would take into your socio-cultural context. That's what that's called. And because Christianity is the majority religion in the U.S., I would hope most therapists are well-trained to understand how to incorporate that socio-cultural context, right? Yeah. But I think even the Bible tells us, don't depend on yourself to figure yourself out. You need Holy Spirit, you need scripture, and you may need some counselors, because in Proverbs it tells us that without counselors, your plans will fall, your plans won't succeed. But if you do have counselors, I mean, I feel like I'm saying that wrong and I'm paraphrasing.
I'll read the actual scripture.
Yeah, because I'm paraphrasing.
Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Safety, plans will not fail. All of these different things. So scripture points to the need of outside resources in order for us to healthily evaluate ourselves, but to also navigate what it looks like to live the will of God for our specific life. Like the will of all of us, Jesus said, Great Commissions, go out and make disciples. That is all of our mission. Yep. But the different ways in which God has created us in order to do the Great Commission is going to look very differently.
Yeah.
And I believe it takes embracing who God has created you to be, not the customs of this world that have been put on you, not the way the world thinks, but a renewal of the mind that I know can come from counselor, that I know can come from the Word of God, to be able to give you the empowerment, the strength, and the courage and the faith to believe that you can walk in His true will for you. Wise counselors. Okay.
Oh,
I am going to drill that point home. Wise counselors.
To do an episode on how to find a good counselor, how to find a good therapist. Let us know if you want us to do that episode, because I think that it would be helpful, but we're only going to do it if it would be helpful. So please let us know.
We're going to do it. I think we need to.
Let us know.
Sidebar. If your counselor, one question you could ask your therapist right off the bat. Have you undergone your own journey of healing through therapy and counseling? That is a great way to know if you are with a good counselor.
Yeah. One of the things that helped me connect with my therapist was the fact that some of the same stuff that I was struggling with, he had already lived through. He was an older guy. He had already lived through. So he wasn't just
speaking out of his butt.
I was going to say he wasn't just speaking out of his training. That's what I was going
to
say.
That too. My therapist often told me, and I had to work through this through my own therapeutic journey. And I was like, Because wisdom says, I don't just have the knowledge. I have the knowledge applied very readily in my life so that I'm able to give you the wisdom that you need to move forward and do this work well. So just a tidbit there for you guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a breakdown of Romans 12 and why I'm so passionate about it.
Well, it's not the whole. It's just
it's not the whole. Okay. Romans 12.
Go home and read all of Romans 12.
Romans 1 through 3.
Yeah, read all of it, though. But we read 1 through 3. It was lit.
But yeah.
Are we done?
I think so.
Okay. Remember to follow us on Instagram at thejoeproject.co. Go to our website, thejoeproject.co. You got it. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.